You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
Let us pray. Almighty God, Vaheguru, we call you many names, but you are one. Keep your divine hands over all the delegates and candidates as they help steer the future of our great nation.
The voice there of Ishwar Singh leading a prayer last night at the Republican National Convention in Tampa. Singh is the president of the Sikh Society of Central Florida and the first ever Sikh American to deliver the invocation at a national convention for the GOP. Singh's appearance at the convention comes just weeks after six worshipers were shot and killed and three people were injured at the Sikh temple in Oak Creek, Wisconsin. Many members of the Sikh community applauded the choice, but it has yet to be seen whether the move signals a sincere effort by the Republican Party to broaden its base. We wanted to explore this issue. Joining me now is Valerie Kaur, Sikh American who produced several documentaries about discrimination against Sikhs in the aftermath of 9/11. Valerie, welcome back to the program.
Nice to be with you, John.
So, Valerie, what is the history with the Sikh community and the GOP, and how's that reflected even in your own family?
Well, you know, let me say first that I think all Sikhs, whether they were Republican or Democrat or Independent, were incredibly proud last night. I mean, last night was the first time we saw a Sikh American ever in the U.S. history to deliver an invocation on the national stage, and we believe of either convention. And so no matter who we are, you know, this is a historic moment for our community. For my family in particular, it was an interesting moment. I was raised as a Republican. My father was a proud Republican. He was really attracted to the values of small government, independence, and hard work, and he kind of raised us on those values. So when I came home in college and told him that I was actually very progressive and a Democrat, he was surprised. But his own beliefs didn't change, that is, until 9/11.
And why did they change then? Why would he why would he put distance between himself and the Republicans after an event like that?
In the decade after 9/11, he began to see his party shift far to the right. He saw very harsh immigration policies. He saw the use of racial profiling. He saw kind of overexpansion of federal power in the fight against terrorism. And I think even more disturbing to him, he saw these leaders who he really respected, leaders like Newt Gingrich. We have a picture of my father with Newt Gingrich in our household. He saw these leaders began to rely on anti-immigrant and anti-Muslim rhetoric in order to score political points. And I think that was deeply troubling for him. It felt like it was violating the very values he was proud of as a Republican. So by the time 2008 came around, he actually not only joined me, but he campaigned with me for President Obama, now, making calls. It was quite amazing.
Now, Barack Obama, of course, is a unique case for a whole variety of reasons. Yet after 9/11, the argument could certainly have been made that, you know, neither Republicans nor Democrats were necessarily embracing communities of color, communities of the Muslim faith, the Sikh community. I mean, one could make the argument that you may have been put off by the Republicans, but you weren't necessarily getting a welcoming call from the Democrats.
I think that's true. Certainly, many of the policies that we saw that embedded profiling and immigration and national security policies were endorsed, you know, by both sides of the people on both sides of the aisle. I still think that my father wasn't a solitary case. The Republican Party has now become 89% white. I think my father is one of millions of black and brown Americans in this country who have been lost by the party over the course of many years. It wasn't immediately after 9/11, I admit that, but over the course of the 8 years following 9/11, it was clear that the strong anti-immigrant fervor in the party began to alienate people.
What did your father think of Ishwar Singh leading that prayer?
He was also extremely proud, as I was. It was a very big deal for Republicans to make this gesture, this invitation, so soon after the tragedy in Oak Creek. And for Republicans to present to America, turbaned and bearded man as a fellow American is a big deal. You know, visuals really matter. But speech also matters. And we felt that, you know, the gesture could be considered hollow if the GOP continues to let hateful speech go unchecked from within its own ranks. And so, you know, Ishwar Singh was at the convention alongside Sheriff Joe Arpaio, alongside Kobach and Bachman and Newt Gingrich. And as long as very prominent leaders in the Republican Party are not checking kind of more extreme rhetoric from inside the party, we're really worried that the party is continuing to contribute to this climate of xenophobia and fear.
Now, Valerie Kaur, Michelle Bachman, I suspect, would not describe herself as anti-Sikh in any way. I don't know what Joe Arpaio would say, but, that's your characterization. They would say, we're concerned about security in the United States, but we don't mean to exclude anyone. You're getting a very different message.
Yes, you know, I think it's time to retire the concept of mistaken identity for Sikhs. I think for a long time, Sikhs were, you know, characterized as being caught up in anti-Muslim bias because they were confused for being Muslim. But I think some of the rhetoric coming from Bachman looking, and Peter King looking suspiciously at extremism in the Muslim American community as a whole tends to characterize, you know, that an entire community of brown folks are inherently suspect. And when you think about it that way, it's not just Sikh Americans, it's Latino Americans, it's Native Americans, it's all people who have brown skin or who look different to white Americans who are suddenly cast as perpetually foreign, automatically suspect, and potentially terrorists.
We're talking with Sikh American Valerie Kaur. Before we go, what do the Democrats need to do? The Patriot Act was extended under Barack Obama's administration. Many of the policies from the Bush era have also been extended that you've referred to here. What does the Democrats need to do at their convention?
I think we hope that the Democrats really commit to a second term of the Obama administration, really checking some of the policies that they have extended from the Bush administration. But I think Sikhs as a whole feel more hopeful that the Democrats will do so, just because we know that the values of a diversity and equality are more upheld. At least we hear that from the Democrats.
Valerie Kaur, a Sikh American, has produced several documentaries about discrimination against Sikhs in the aftermath of 9/11, reacting to the prayer invocation from Ishwar Singh last night at the convention in Tampa. Thanks so much, Valerie.
Thanks, John.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.